Okay, we're holding on involvement days by the last mission, that's the mission at the bottom of the Yamud. So we've learned previously in the Perek about the different tumors that the Nazir is Megaleach for, is not Megaleach for. And among them we had that, we had the case of Etzim Kisa'ora, of a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley, and we had the case of, which we said of Mikama Magro Masa, but not the oil, and we have the case of, you need the Mishnah said you need a half a lug of blood, even though a quarter of a lug is enough to be Mikama, a person with Magro Masa of oil, but you need half a lug in order for another to be Megaleach. So the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Danti Lifnei Rabbi Eliezer. I discussed as follows in front of Rabbi Eliezer. I brought up the following. Rabbi Eliezer was his Rebbe. I brought up the following argument. Ma in etzim kisa'or. Danti doesn't mean I made the din. It means I brought up the following point for discussion. Like we learned yesterday, the dinhu, the din noisin, like we can deduce something logically. So like I came up with the following logical deduction in front of and to see if Rabbi Eliezer would agree with me. So you have a piece of bone the size of a barley grain, which is not matama ba'oil, as we said previously, and yet a nazir megaleach hamagoy v'amaso, yet a nazir has to be megaleach if he touches it or carries it. Revius damshu matama odem ba'oil, well then a revius of blood, which is matama a person with an oil, so therefore it's more serious than etzim kisa'ora, eina din shehe a nazir megaleach hamagoy v'amaso. Shouldn't it be logical, kavachomer, that a nazir should have to be megaleach at least for touching it and carrying it? So, okay, we can't say. We learned that you need a half a log, which is two to be. Right. Now, okay, granted, Rabbi Akiva can't be saying that, can't argue that on that basis, since a revius dam is metama for oil, therefore we should argue that for oil, that it should be metama the nazir and make him have to shave for oil as well. Because there we could apply a rule called daya levomen adin lius kenodin, which means the Gemara discusses it mostly in Bava Kamma, it comes up. But the idea is like this. If you're trying to learn one thing from another by a Kava Chomer, you can't make the thing that you're trying to learn out be more stringent than the thing you're learning from. Daya, it's enough. Levomen adin, that's something that comes via Kava Chomer, lius kenodin, that it should just be like what you're deriving it from. The example the Gemara gives for it actually is at the end of Parashas Ba'aloisa, after Miriam has spoken about Moshe Rabbeinu and gotten Saras, so Moshe davens for Kel Nodafon Allah. So the Eibishter says, look, even if she had offended against her human father, and he was angry with her, then she would have to consider herself as if she was a Nidri for 7 days. Now, here it wasn't a human being she offended, it was Hashem. So how much more so you should argue she should have to be out of the camp for 14 days. But because Daya Levomen Adin Lius Kenodin, you can't make that, you're trying to say the Eibishter, offending the Eibishter is more serious than offending a human being. Well, therefore you're gonna want to say that for a human being 7 days and for the Eibishter 14 days, you can't say that. But you can at least say 7 days. The honor of the Eibishter shouldn't be less than the honor of the father. So therefore, shouldn't be less. Shouldn't be less. So therefore, based on the Kava Chomer, you can say that she can't just be healed right away. She needs some time. So, well, not a similar application. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying like this. That, granted, okay, so we know that a Revius Dam is anyway more serious than an Etzim Kisa'ora in the fact that it's Metama Ba'oil. Now, you want to argue, now we know, let's say at this point we don't know yet whether Truma of blood is Metame or Nazir at all, but fine, we know Halakha L'Moshe Mishinai that it is, a half a lug, two revis. Rabbi Akiva is asking, based on this Kava Chomer, at the very least we should say, fine, you want to say that it won't be Metame of Oihel, a Nazir, fine, because you can't say the Essen Kisa'oda is not, you can't say the quarter of a lug is either, fine, but at least you should say it's Metame of Magro Masa, same as Essen Kisa'oda. Amali, Sir Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Yehuda told me, Maze Akiva, what kind of an argument is that Akiva? Ein domin kan the Kava Chomer. You cannot learn over here from a Kava Chomer. Why not? We'll talk about it in the Gemara. Listen to Rabbi Yeshua, when I went and told over the thing to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva had learned under Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua. So a lot of times we find that he would learn something from or discuss something with Rabbi Yehazar, and then later on go and report to Rabbi Yeshua and then see what he has to say about it. Omali, so Rabbi Yeshua tells me, Yofa Amarta, yes, you have a good point. Ela kein amar halacha, but the fact is that that's the halacha. That's the halacha, that you need a halacha meshmitzina, that you need a half a log, not a quarter of a log. So Yehoshua says, Iboilahu, the Chachamim had a question.
So now
we have to figure out, though, what did Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua mean exactly? What exactly is Rabbi Eliezer's issue with Rabbi Akiva's Kal V'Chomer? Basically, what we're saying is like this. We're saying that when you can learn a Kal V'Chomer, you can take something that it says in the Torah and derive a Kal V'Chomer from it. Fine. That's one of your Gilmidus Shatar and Adrishas to him. You cannot apply that kind of thing. You cannot apply in general, not just Kal V'Chomer. You can't apply your Gilmidus in general to a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So if we have a halacha l'moshe misinai, if we have a halacha l'moshe misinai, you can't derive a kal v'chomer from it. Well, that's what we have to figure out. Which of these two dinim, the etzem kaseora or the revi'ah dam, which one is the halacha l'moshe misinai? That's what the Gemara is going to take up over here. Why that is that you can't learn them using the yud gimel middos? Basically, the idea is that the halacha l'moshe misinai, by definition, is not written down. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu bal peh. It was never written down. So therefore, you can't use the same methods on it that you would use on the written text of the Torah of the Torah Shabbat Sav. Having said that, though, Meforshim talk about the pros and cons that maybe you can. We do find other places in Shas where they've derived things based on logical deductions, such as Kal V'Chomer from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So they talk about that there may be a difference where the whole thing is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai versus where the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai gives us a detail in a din that the din itself, the din as a whole, says in the Torah, and there's a particular detail that's added by Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Then maybe you can use Kal V'Chomer and whatnot on it. Okay, so Iboilu, so the Yeshiva lies out a question. Which one is it? Etzim kisa'ora halacha, is it that the halacha l'moshe misinai is that a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley is enough to make a nozer b'megaleach? And revi'as dam kal v'chomer, and then Rabbi Akiva is trying to learn a revi'as dam from that by kal v'chomer, and then the argument that Rabbi Eliezer says back to him is ain done in kal v'chomer halacha. You cannot derive a kal v'chomer from halacha, so you can't take the etzem kisa'oda, which is a halacha, and derive by kal v'chomer from it, derive a revi'as dam. Halacha meshu, that's what we mean, yeah. Oduma revi'as dam halacha, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the revi'as dam is the halacha meshu v'sinai. The etzem kisa'oda kal v'chomer, and that you'd say that a grain of barley you want to say that a bone, the size of a grain of barley is what you're trying to derive by kal v'chomer. Meaning like this. There's no question. I mean, in Rabbi Akiva's argument, he's taking etzim kisa'oda as a given and trying to learn revi'as dam from it. But the question basically is like this. In Pasuk, the Pasuk says by the Nazir, Tosus quotes the Lashon Alkol Nafshis Meis Lo Yovei. That's really a Lashon by the Kohen. By the Nazir, there's a different Lashon, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yovei. By the Nazir. Kol Yemei Hazir Al Hashem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yovei. The vote is like this. We can look at it like this. We can look at it that there's nothing there that says anything about a piece of bone. So maybe that's only halacha l'moshe misinai. Then based on that, Rabbi Akiva would be trying to learn the concept of revi'as dam. Or maybe we could say the other way around. Yes, a revi'as dam, there is a pasuk that implies that a revi'as dam is metameh. Namely, the pasuk that says by koyanim, which we learned earlier in the paragraph, that we do derive koyanim and the din of a koyan, the din of a koyan gadol, and the din of a nazir from each other. And it says there, I'll call nafshois meis lo yavoi. Nafshois, we said, means blood, because nefesh abasa badami. On the other hand, though, nafshois, plural, pateret, implies a quarter of a lug for one, or a revius for one, or a revius for the other. So it would imply half a lug. So then, to revius. So then you can argue the pasuk there is talking about oil. The alcohol nafshis means lo yovei, and we said lo yovei refers to coming into an oil mess. But abba, we would say based on that from the pasuk we would only know a half a log. Maybe we could argue then, the Gemara is saying, maybe we could argue that the revi'as dam is halacha. The idea that in general revi'as dam is matamah ba'oil is halacha moshe v'sinai, because from the pasuk you would only know two revi'as, half a log. the etzim kaseoda kavu chaymer, and then you're trying to learn from the etzim kaseoda. You're trying to learn a kavu chaymer that you should have to shave for Revi'is Dam. And again, the idea would be the ain done kavu chaymer halacha. So which one is the halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai that Rabbi Akiva is trying to deduce from? The fact that an etzim kaseoda is metame and then a nozer has to shave for it, or the fact that a Revi'is Dam is metame v'oil, which we don't know yet that a nozer has to shave for it. That's what Rabbi Akiva is trying to prove. Tashma, come, let's prove from a braisa, etzim kaseoda halacha, the fact that a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley is metame is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. Both the fact that it's metame in general and the fact that a nozer has to be megaleach for it. This is a braisa saying it. Or Revi'is Dam Kavu Chomer. The braisa is explaining our Mishnah. Or Revi'is Dam Kavu Chomer. Rabbi Akiva is trying to learn the Revi'is Dam from that by Kavu Chomer. The ain't done in Kavu Chomer from Halacha, and you can't learn a Kavu Chomer from Halacha. So our first alternative is the correct one. The Etzim Kaseoda itself is a Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, right? That Revi'is Dam is metame, we can learn from the pasuk. We can learn from the pasuk, but we can't learn from that pasuk that a nazir would have to be megaleach for it. That's what Rabbi Akiva is trying to prove, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are telling him, sorry, you can't work things that way.
Because you can't learn
a kavu chaymer from halacha l'moshe mitzinai, right?
Why is that?
That's why, because we just said, because you can't use it. Your dvar midos are only designed to be used on teresh v'chsav. They're not designed to be used on something on a halacha, which is purely halacha l'moshe mitzinai. Hadron halacha chayim gavol. Mishnah says, Shnei Nazir, our parak is basically going to be talking about cases of sfeikis involving Nazirus, involving Saras, involving Tumas Nes, a little bit of it we talked about in the previous parak. Here's where we're mainly going to be talking about it. So, Shnei Nazirim, Sh'amal Lahan Echad, one person says to two Nazirim, Ra'isi Echad Mikem Shenitma, I saw one of you became Tomei, the any day is Mikem, but I don't know which one of you it was. Now, Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh all point out that necessarily you would have to say that neither of the Nazirim contradicts him and says, no, I know for a fact I didn't become Tomei. If they do contradict him, then fine, he's only one aid, and he can't make them have to do anything. But if they don't say anything, if they say, you know, could be, then that's where we have the suffix. Now, the problem is that which one is Tomei, which one is not. We're assuming that the situation is it can only be one or the other of them is Tomei. It can't be both. For example, they were standing a few amos apart. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the Gemara. They were standing a few amos apart. He saw that one of them was near Mech, but he doesn't know which one. Okay. So what do they do? So what do they do as far as their korban? It's the galchan and mevi'in korban tumah v'korban tahara. What they do is they shave and they bring the korban that a nazir brings when he's tamei, as well as the korban that a nazir brings when he's tahara. The omer, and they say, Rashi says just one of them has to say, and Tosfos says they don't even have to say, it's assumed this way, Iman nihu tamei korban tumah shaliv korban tahara shalcha. So you have Reuven and Shimon, let's say. Reuven says, if I'm the one who became tamei, then the korban tumah is going to be mine, and the korban tahara will be for you, Shimon. Iman nihu atar, and if I, Reuven, am the tahara one, then the other way around, korban tahara shaliv korban tumah shalcha, then the korban tahara now is mine, the korban tumah is yours. Then the Sofrim Shloshim Yom, and they both count 30 days, when we'll be in Korban Tahara. Now they just bring one Korban Tahara, the Omer, and again you make a similar stipulation, Imanihu Atame, if I'm the one who previously was Tame, Korban Tuma Shali, the Korban Tahara Shalcha, then previously, the first time around, a month ago, I was the one who brought the Korban Tuma, you were the one who brought the Korban Tahara, is that Korban Tahara Rossi, and now this one is my Korban Tahara, and now that way we're all covered. And if I was the one who was Torah to begin with, Korban Tahara Shaliv, Korban Tumah Shalcha, then the first time around, the Korban Tahara was mine, the Korban Tumah was yours, is that Korban Tahara Rosscha, and this one is for you. So that way they don't have to lose out anything. That way all they have to do is bring those three sets of korbanos between the two of them, and nobody has to lose extra money out of their pocket. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Katani Shnei Nizir. So what's considered? The Mishnah says, Shnei Nizirim Sha'amalam Echad Ra'isi Echad Mekem Shenikma. So two Nizirim, one person says to them, I saw one of you became Tomei Ve'en Yedei Eichem Mekem. I don't know which one of you. Question is, so what's the problem in the first place? Not mine. So what's the problem? Kol Sofek Tumah B'Shus HaYachem Mehecha Yachin Inla B'chlal. Throughout Shas, we have a concept called that the Sofek Tumah B'Shus HaYachid versus B'Shus HaRabim. The Gemara talks about it. So it's talked about in many different places in Shas. I think we talked about it before. I think in particular we talked about it in Eruvin, and I don't remember where else. Shas, maybe. The verdict is like this. If you have a case where you're not sure if he became Tomei, if that took place in a Rishus HaYachid, and not the definition of Rishus HaYachid for this purpose is not exactly the same as it is for Hilchos Shabbos. Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim isn't exactly the same as it is in Hilchos Shabbos. There are things that are considered a Rishus HaYachid as far as Hilchos Shabbos, but are considered a Rishus HaRabim as far as Tumah. So if it was in a Rishus HaYachid, then Misafik your Tomei. If it was in a Rishus HaRabim, then Misafik your Tahor. Not because of the Rabbim is Tahor. We're going to see what we're going to say. Where b'chlal do we learn this concept that sofek tuma in rishus hayachid the person is tamei? Misaita. We learn that from the din of saita. Ma saita boil v'nivela. Just like in the case of a saita, all you have over there is the potential boil and the potential nivelas, the woman who was warned not to be alone with this guy, and then this guy who she was with. And then we consider her Tomei to be on the safe side, basically, and that's why she has to go and drink the soita water, etc. Afkol Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaYachid. So the same thing, we learn from that the concept of Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaYachid. But that means he's going to Ikka Beit Tirei. That means only if there were only two people there. That's the definition. Two or fewer people, that's the definition of Rishus HaYachid. Aval Hacha, Shnei Nizirim Bahai Dekari Gabehen, but here you have the two Nizirim, you have the other person standing together with them, Hatwasa, so now three people. Aval Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim. At that point, it's considered a Rishus HaRabim, because again, by a Sota, you wouldn't have three people, because all you have is her and the Boil, the one who she was warned not to be alone with, and that's why we say that she's considered Tumah, and Nistud over Hindisma. Had there been a third person there, then she wouldn't be. So we see.
Someone seeing them both together.
We'll learn in a week and a half time when we begin Sota. As the Shem, there's different opinions about how much, which, what number of about where you need Edim. Do you need for the Kinnuri or do you need for the Sphira? But even put it this way: if Ed is with them in the place, then there's no Sphira. The definition of Sphira is she's alone with this person, and we don't know whether anything happened. The aide saw them go into a room together, let's say, but he didn't know anything else that happened inside there. If he was there with them, then he's an aide, one way or the other, yeah. Then there's no maid sota. Either way, if she's Tahor, she's Tahor, if she's Tomei, then that's it. She gets divorced. So here, though, the Gemara is assuming that the aide is in the same place as the two Nazirim. So then that makes it a Rishus HaRabim. Once we have that, it's not the same as the case of the Sota anymore. That's what we're saying. As far as the Dinim of Tumah, given that we're learning the concept of Sofek Tumah Rishus HaYachid, we learn from Sota, then it has to be similar to Sota. Therefore, it can only be two people. If you have three people, then it's already not like the Sota anymore. Then we can't then we can't say it's similar to the Sota, and we shouldn't say that Sofek Tumah is Tomei.
Right, but does it make it automatically Rishus HaRabim?
That's effectively what we mean is, that's what it is. When you have three people, then we can no longer apply the concept that it's Sofek Tumah Rishus HaYachid. So by default, therefore, it's kind of a Rishus HaRabim, yeah. Thank you. And if it's Sofek, the whole Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim is fake, it's Tahor. Any case of Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, the Sofek is Tahor, so why would any of them have to bring a carbon tumah? Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, yes, but we're talking about Ba'omer. Suppose the person is saying, Ra'isi Tumah Shenizru Kabeinechem. I saw that something of Tumah was thrown between you two. And I'm not sure which one of you, I know it landed close enough to one of you to make you Tumah, but I don't know which one. For example, somebody threw a kezayis in a mess, or an etzim tisodo, or what have you, any of the different things that we talked about in the last perek, and it landed. Let's say, for example, you could imagine a scenario. You know, let's say, for example, both of them are, you know, each of them is standing under an umbrella. Let's say, so the tumah landed next to one of them, so it's under the same umbrella as him. Therefore makes him tamei by tumas oil, but he doesn't know now which one it was. But the point is, he's not together with them. He's standing at a distance. So they, where they are, is the Rishus HaYachid. Yes, if he was with them, then yeah, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be a Rishus HaYachid. So
far away should he be?
Well, okay. So that's so. There's actually. So first of all, okay. Before we get into that, by the way, Tosfos deals with the problem. In that case, then we're back to the question. If it's a Bafin Tumah versus a Yachid, then we have to say both of them are considered Bafin Tumah. So what kind of one of them brings a Korban Tumah and one of them brings a Korban Tara? Bafin Tumah versus a Yachid is Tumah. And it's not just, even if there's
like
one... For all intents and purposes, yes. As a matter of fact, actually, usually the rule, Tosfos points out, usually the rule would be that if you have a suffix, for example, where the truma became tummy, you wouldn't burn it, you would set it aside and not do anything with it until either it spoils or it becomes vadeh tummy or what have you, and then you can burn it. But there are, it's called ashisha seikah sofin at the truma, there are six cases of suffix where, even though there are cases of suffix, nevertheless truma is burnt for such tumas, and one of them is suffix tumah b'rishos hayachid. So we see that's a very strong, when we say Safak Tumah versus the Yachid Tomei, we mean it's a very strong thing that again, based on the Saita, you know, by the Saita, we effectively, we're pretty much saying she's Vadei Tomei. We're saying Midar Daisa. Even on a Midar Daisa level, because that's what we're saying by the Saita. That's what we're saying, Saita Nasa Tumah. So what are you talking about over here, that one of them should bring a Korban Tumah and one of them should bring a Korban Tara? Both of them should be bringing a Korban Tumah in that case, if it's a Rishos HaYachid, and if it's a Rishos HaAvim, then you're back to the question, neither one should. So how do you have a scenario, Tosfos is asking, where one of them has to bring a Korban Tumah and one of them has to bring a Korban Tara, and we're just not sure which one is which? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because by the Sota, you could have, put it this way, by the Sota, it's a binary thing. Either she's Tumah or she's not. Here, there's no possibility that both of them became Tomei. Again, the Tumah landed under the umbrella, let's say, of one of them, not the other. That's what the age is telling us. So there's no way to say, there's only the possibility that either one of them is Tomei or the other one of them is Tomei. There's no possibility that both of them are Tomei. Unlike with a Saita, where she herself, she's only one person. She's either Tomei or she's not. Now, you're asking how far away this aid has to be. So actually, the Rambam and the Raiva discussed this, and the Mephoshim and the Rambam discussed this a bit. The Rambam understands the situation to be where, on face value of our Gemara, that the two Nazirim, let's say, are standing in a chotzer. The other person is standing someplace outside that chotzer and observing. He sees Tumah being thrown in. He sees it landing close enough to one of them to be metame him or touching him or whatever, but he doesn't know which one. The Raivad argues and says, not necessarily. You could even have, let's say, that they're all in the same place. He's just a bit of a distance from them. And the Farshim and Rambam discuss what exactly the issue is between the Rambam and the Raivad. One issue may be, when we're saying over here, when we're distinguishing here between Rishos HaYachid and Rishos HaRabim, in order for it to be a Rishos HaRabim, does it have to be that any of the three of them could conceivably have become Tomei? In this case, for example, the aide is saying, I know for a fact that the tumor went nowhere near me, and therefore I'm not Tommy. I know it went near one of you. Is that sufficient to consider it, if he is in the same cluster with them, let's say, is that sufficient to consider it a Rishos HaRabim? Or maybe not. Maybe he actually has to be outside the area, which is basically what the Rambam is saying. Enough to see. I mean, but as long as he's in a different Rishos then, so yeah. Amar Rav Ashi Dekanami, actually Rav Ashi says we can prove this from the actual wording of the Mishnah. Because the aid is saying, I don't know which one of you. Which means, in other words, if he meant that we were all three together in the chaser, let's say, or according to the Raivad, we were all close together, and one of you became Tomei, and I saw which one it was, but now I've forgotten, that's one thing. But here he's saying, I don't know which one, that I never had any way of knowing. I saw the tumah land, but I was too far away to be able to see which one of you it landed me.
So he's definite
that it's one of them. So one of them, but it's not that he knew at one point and then he forgot, which might have been the case if he was close to them, because then they'd all be, then it would be a Rosh Hashanah and they'd all be in the same place. It has to be that he was far away enough. Again, according to the Rambam, I'm outside the chaser, and according to the Rambam, maybe even in the chaser, but some distance away, far enough that he could never have seen in the first place clearly which one it was that became Tomei. So that itself makes it Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, and therefore, we're saying in Rosh Hashanah, speak it Tomei. Except by Tosfos, it's the same. They don't both have to bring a Korban Tumah, because again, we know for a fact only one of them, only one, but not both, became Tomei. Okay, so that proves it. Okay. And the Mishnah had said Megalchon and Mevi'in, that both of them have to shave their hair the first time around, and both of them have to bring a carbon. Again, we said one brings animals for a carbon tada, one brings for a carbon tumah, and they make the condition that it said in the Mishnah that whichever one is appropriate will be for the appropriate one of us. And again, Tosfos said that only we have to make that condition, it's assumed. It's assumed because the Kohen can just, apparently what Tosfos is saying is the Kohen can just check the Korbanos, understanding that, with the understanding that, for example, when it comes to the Asham, whichever one of these two is the one who was Tomei, the Asham will be on his behalf. Whichever one of these two, the one who was Tar, the Shlomim will be on his behalf. That's apparently, yeah, because apparently, yes.
Certainty that you're offering an asham?
No, you know you're offering an asham. If you thought it was something other than an asham, yeah, it wouldn't work. We learned that previously. No, he knows for a fact this particular animal is an asham. It's a specific type of animal anyway. The asham of a nazir has to be a ram in its second year. If there was only one suffix tummy, you'd have a problem. That we'll deal with later on. You were talking about, you have two people. One of them is Tommy, one of them is not. So we know an Asham has to be brought, we just don't know for which one of them it is. But that's fine.
Know that someone is coming.
That's fine. The same principle, for example, we learned way, way, way back in Shkolov a couple of years back, that one of the boxes that they had, one of the pushkas they had in the Beis Hamikdash was for kinim, and it was actually for kinim and for gozlet oima, and we said over there, kinim is when, for example, a woman had to bring a pair of birds as a korban when she was a yeledis, for example, or a zava or what have you, she could put the money in there, and the koyanim, the koyanim, the based in shal koyanim, would be in charge of going and using that money to buy birds and bringing them as korbanos. So they know, some person put this money in here and we're bringing it on their behalf. We don't know their name. Doesn't matter.
That's for a woman.
The same thing.
Doesn't matter.
And besides, men for men also. It could be, for example, for a zav, to bring a pair of birds as a carbon offset. Okay. So, the question what we're going to focus on is, okay, bringing the carbonus is not such a problem. What about the shaving? If on the face of it, if one of them is going to be doing shaving, not for the mitzvah. Bamai, so why does that work? Do you have a lav tmei and inun? Maybe they're not tmei because of it hakafa. And now one of them is doing hakafa. He's shaving his payas where there's no mitzvah involved. Well, that's what we mean. One or the other of them is not tmei. And therefore, what's he cutting his hair for? He's cutting his hair. He's cutting his payas as well. Which in turn, Mephoshim asks back the question: what's the Gemara asking? I mean, no matter how you look at it, if the guy is Tomei, then he has to shave his hair, and if he's Tomei, he has to shave his hair. What's the problem? So they say the truth is right. The question is not really so much the first time. The question is rather the second time around when we say that both of them shave again and bring the korban tara, and the korban tara is brought for one or the other of them. Whichever one of them was not Tomei the first time around is now the second time going to be shaving without doing a mitzvah. So how does that work? Shmuel, the ish of a katan. So Shmuel says, you're right. Our Mishnah would have to be talking about that these two nazirim, let's say, were women, or ketanim, which the Rosh points out, what kind of ketanim we mean. For example, musla ha-samuch le-ish, where a boy, when he's within a year before his bar mitzvah, where then is nedarim achal. I'm not real sure why the Rosh has to say that, why you can't say that it was a case that we had earlier in the Masechta that the father can make his son a nazir even at a younger age. Okay.
What do you do?
That's what we're going to get to. The question is, you might ask the loikma of a gadol. Why? Why does Shmuel have to assume that? Let Shmuel say that the Mishnah is talking about regular adult males, and we could say the hakafas kol harosh lo shma hakafa. We could argue that when does the Torah, which we talked about this earlier a couple of weeks ago, maybe the Torah only asks you to shave your payas when you're leaving the rest of your hair. You're doing hakafa lo sakifu pas rosh, when you're making the hair is now the hairline now goes in a complete circle around the head. From where it is high up here by the temples until where it is over here high up above the ear without dipping down for payas.
Instead of both being at the same time.
The Torah is saying like this. For whatever reason, whether it's in the Goyim in those days used to do this, as the Rambam says, or whatever various other reasons, is the Torah asks you, you're not allowed to have that your hairline should form a complete circle around your head. Like Kifu Pas Rosh Tem. So what does that mean? It means if you leave the rest of your hair intact and you shave your payas, so now the hair is going in a straight line from here to here, and everything below that has been cut off, that's the issue. You could argue then that the Torah is only asking if you cut only the payas, but if you shave everything, the hell head and the payas, then there's no hakafa. There's no circle. There's no circle of hair. There's left because there's no hair. So why does it?
No hair, they shave themselves.
But they just say, okay, so here we're talking about something different. Here we're talking about that a person conceivably, that's what a nazir has to do, and the third also, that shave their entire head, payas and all. We learned before, we said there were three cases of people arrested who shave everything, a nazir, a third, and the levir. So that's the thing. What we're saying is, there's no question the Torah asks you hakafa sarosh, which means to shave the payas and leave that the hair is just going from here to here. But is it also equally also under that if you're shaving the payas as well as the rest of the hair and leaving nothing? Or maybe the Torah is only asking if you're cutting off the payas and leaving the rest of the hair, and if you cut off everything, then it's not also midaraisin. Maybe it's also midarabanan, but at least it's not also daraisin. So why doesn't Shmuel then assume that that's what our Mishnah is talking about? Let our Mishnah be talking about men. Instead of having to be doichik and saying that the Mishnah is talking about women or children, and then you'd have to say that men in that case might be stuck. At least according to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer had said that you have to shave in order to finish your nezirus. Okay, the Chachamim had said, which is the halacha, that shaving in the end is not an active anyway, so fine. The first time around, both of them will shave, because one of them is Tomei and one of them is Tahar, and either way they need to. The second time around, though, we would have to say, if it was men, neither one of them can shave, because one or the other of them might have been Tahar the previous time around. Fine, but okay, according to the Chachamim, it's not active. But why does Shmuel have to assume that instead the Mishnah is talking only about women and children who have no mitzvah of hakafa? Women, because the Gemara explains in Kiddushin that in general women are chayiv in most loisa, says in the Torah, except for hakafa sarosh, hashchasa sazakim, shaving the beard, meaning even if a woman grows hair on her chin, she's allowed to shave it. And a wife or daughter of a Kohen is allowed to become Tommy Mess, unlike her husband or son.
So
Shmuel is saying, therefore, that a woman doesn't have this mitzvah of hakafa, therefore she'd be allowed to shave off everything, including her payas, and a child is not yet chayav in mitzvah, so therefore also. Why does Shmuel have to say that? And why does Shmuel have to say that, which therefore requires us to say that hakafas kol harosh, why doesn't Shmuel just say, very simple, the Mishnah is talking about men, they have a mitzvah not to shave their payas unnecessarily, fine, but here they're not only shaving their payas, they're shaving their whole head, and that's not awesome, it's a raisa. So the loikma of a gadol, why doesn't Shmuel explain our Mishnah as talking about an adult male, ba'akofas kol harosh lo shma hakofa, and then let him argue that shaving the entire head is not also midaraisa, because there's no loisa kifu pas rosh, you're not making the hair left over in a circle. And midaloi motzim lahachi, the fact is, since Shmuel is not saying like that, shma minachasavak Shmuel hakofas kol harosh shma hakofa. Evidently, then Shmuel holds that yes, hakofas kol harosh is considered hakofa. So yes, you would be equally chayav malchus whether you only shave the payas or whether you shave the whole head. Okay, so then that must be why Shmuel was forced to explain our Mishnah that it can't possibly be talking about men. Because then it wouldn't work. Because then one of them at the end is going to be shaving shalom l'shem mitzvah and being over on an issue without doing the mitzvah. Interesting thing, by the way, I saw that Rambam writes that the idea behind wearing payas and also a beard is because the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in those days used to cut off their payas and used to shave off their payas and used to shave off their beards. So somebody says, I saw a vote, I can't remember now where. So why of all things did the Goyim come up with such a thing? The vote is like this. The Goyim in those days, obviously all of them worshipped Getchkes, and they made their Getchkes, a lot of them still do, okay, yeah. They made their Getchkes as much as possible in human form. Now, so therefore, okay, they could give their Getchkes eyes and a nose and a mouth. Okay, like it says in Dillim, the eyes don't see, the mouth doesn't speak, etc. Okay, fine, but at least it had the same image. One thing they couldn't do is they had no way of making their idols have hair. You can't grow hair on a, maybe, I don't know, maybe if they'd invented chia pets in those days, they could have, but they didn't. So they had no way of growing hair on their idols. So therefore, these guys would try to be like their idols in, okay, so let's remove our hair in order to be more like that. Okay. Mazutra masni lahashmaita de shmuel afeifa. Mazutra rather says that this statement of Shmuel, this discussion that we just said, is actually referring to the next Mishnah. Not our Mishnah, but the next one, which we'll learn later on in a couple of days. Nazir Shai Tomei B'Safek, or Mochlo B'Safek, we talked about it briefly in the previous Seder. You have a Nazir who was, it's a Safek whether he became Tomei Mes, and it's a Safek also whether he became a Metzora, Mochlo. So then we said he has to go through four rounds of shaving his hair and four rounds of bringing Korbanos to cover all his bases in case he was a Metzora, in case those days of Saras therefore don't count towards the Nazirus, etc. And we said, he can eat kachim after 60 days, after he's gone through two rounds of those shaving, because at that point, for sure, the karbonis he's brought, at that point, the karbonis that he's brought definitely cover his saraf. He's gone through the first shaving and the second shaving of saraf and brought his karbonis. He's no longer a mechutz kapara, he's now able to eat kachim. The fact that he might still be a nazir doesn't prevent him from eating kachim. It's only someone who became tamei. And it's only somebody who tuma yotza olam migufa, actually. Only somebody who became tamei from something from his own body who hasn't yet brought his korbanos. A zava, a yoldus, a mitzvah, yeah, all of that class of people, only they are also to eat kachim until they bring their korbanos. A nazir, for example, even a nazir tamei is not like that.
Zav,
we said, doesn't matter as far as nazirus. The only things that matter as far as nazirus, we said, are tumas mes and tumas taras. So he can eat kachim after 60 days, after he's gone through two rounds of the shaving, and he ends up having to shave his hair four times, two times because it might potentially be for saras, and once for tumah and once for tara, to oversimplify. We'll talk about the details later on in a couple of days. So then the question is again, on the face of it, he may not really need all those four, because what if he wasn't tamei nes and what if he wasn't tamei by saras? Then he only needs one of those four haircuts for his tiglachas tara, for nazir. He's doing as many as three of them unnecessarily. And again, you have the question, he's shaving off his payas. And Tosfos, by the way, adds a girsa over here that the Gemara's question, according to this version, may not be so much about the shaving the payas. The question might be more about the fact that for the shavings of the Mitzvah, the first two shavings, he's also shaving his beard, because the Mitzvah has to shave all the hair on his body. So now you have an even stronger question, therefore, that he might be twice shaving his payas and his beard, Shalai B'Makom Mitzvah. Yeah? So on that, Amar Shmuel B'Ishah Katan. So that would be where Shmuel is saying that has to be talking about a woman or a child. Where, again, a woman doesn't have the issur of ashkotas zaken. She doesn't have the issur of shaving her payas or her beard if she has one. A katan doesn't either because it's not chayav mitzvah. But yeah, it wouldn't work for a gadol. He couldn't shave the first two times, according to Shmuel, yeah.
Because it's something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. More on this topic, since we're talking about a katas
zaken.
No, it's Shmuel saying, as a practical matter, that Given that you can't put it this way, as far as hakafa, you could argue there can be the argument whether hakafa is kolorosh is shmei hakafa or not. So you could argue if it's just a matter like in our Mishnah, we have two nazirim, one of them might be tamei, one of them is tamei, the other one is not. We don't know which one is which. So fine, both of them can do both haircuts, and you could get away with it because it's hakafa is kolorosh. But when you have the case, this is why Marzutra says that Shmuel is referring to the next Mishnah, because once you bring in the matter of Safek Mitzora, where there you're not just talking about shaving payas, we're fine. You could argue that if you shave the whole hair and the payas along with it, you're not over or anything deraita. But shaving the beard, there's no such heter. So therefore, that's where necessarily we have to say, even if we don't argue that our Mishnah is talking about men, it's talking about women or children, necessarily you have to say that the next Mishnah must be talking about them. Okay. More on this topic of Akafas HaRosh. A makif is a cotton areu chayev. If somebody shaves the payas of a cotton, then he's chayev. The cotton himself, obviously not. He's not chayev in mitzvahs yet. But the adult who shaved him is chayev. So, omelet of adabre ba'avel ravona. They asked him the didoch man megalach loin. Okay, so what about your own children? Who's shaving their payas then? Now, so how did he know? I mean, the pashto must have seen Rav Huna's children with their payas shaved off. And Rashi points out actually that what they used to do, what they would have done in those days, is let's say the kids were sick, they would shave their hair in order to help them, recover. So they would have shaved off the payas as well. If you, Rav Huna, hold that an adult male is also to shave them, then who's shaving them? Amalei chayva. So Rav Huna tells him, Choyva is the name of Rav Huna's wife. Wait, that's the problem. So Rav Abba Ba'ava says, a very strong expression, Choyva should bury her children. Now what does that mean? The Rosh says he's asking us a question. Shouldn't Choyva, your wife, be concerned that she's putting her children's lives in danger by doing an issue like that and shaving them? On the other hand, Tosfos seems to be saying that Rav Ada Ba'ava is saying it as a statement. What happened? The Gemara has an expression in a few places. It was in Ksuvos, for example. Kishgoga Shiyotza Lefnei HaShalit. Sometimes you have a Talmid Chacham says something even inadvertently, and it comes true. So what happened over here? Kulu Shnei Rav Ada Ba'ava Lo Yikayim Lo Yizara Lo Rav Huna. Throughout Rav Ada Ba'ava's years, throughout the rest of his life, none of Rav Huna's children stayed alive. That's the power of his speaking.
Yeah,
it was in Ayam the other day, but the person with the other I'll tear you up like a fish, yeah. And that was just a plain person. This is Rav Ada Ba'ava, yeah, too.
Yeah.
By the way, the Gemara tells another story in Bava Kamma also involving Rav Huna and Rav Ada Ba'ava, and also involving Choyva, Rav Huna's wife, about raising sheep and goats in Bava, where it destroys they destroy the ecology, they destroy trees and whatnot, where Choyva was taking care of the animals. And again, Rav Ada Ba'ava uses the same expression, and the Gemara has the same statement over there about what happened to Rav Huna's children. So Ben Yehoyada says, evidently, just one or the other of these things would not have been enough. When Rav Ada Ba'ava said it twice, apparently that had the effect already. No. Didn't say anything about that, no. Okay.
That's
tough for the Pasha said, kids extra. Yeah. We're saying that none of the children...
Are you doing the same thing?
We don't know, but whatever... you know what? Let's learn the rest of the sugya and then let's talk about who the halacha is like. Wait. Okay. The question is, Mechti Tavayu Svira Akafas Kolorosh Shma Akafa. Fine. Apparently it's a given that both Rav Ada Ba'ava and Rav Huna both agree that Akafas Kolorosh is also Doraita, is considered Akafa, because that's what we're talking about over here. They didn't just shave off the kid's payas, they shaved off the whole head. B'mai Kamifavi. So what is the underlying machloikas? What's Rav Huna's reason that he himself can't give the kids these haircuts, but his wife could? And what's Rav Ada Ba'ava's svara that she can't either, that it's an issue for her also? So it's like this. Rav Huna svara, the pasuk says, Rav Huna figures like this. The pasuk says, Lo'isakifu pas roshtem v'lo'isashkes espasikonecha. The pasuk puts these two things together. Don't round off the corners of your head, your payas, and don't destroy the corners of your beard. Don't shave your beard. Which means, therefore, any person that the concept of hashchasa applies to them, of you're not allowed to shave your beard, then the concept of hakafa, of cutting off your payas, also applies to them. The hanin nashi, well, women, however less know of hashchasa, since the din of hashchasa does not apply to them, since they're allowed to shave, they're allowed to shave their beard, like we said before, that's one of the three loisa says that don't apply to women. Since if they have a beard, they're allowed to shave it. Less known nami ba'kofa. So therefore, the din ba'kofa doesn't apply to them either. They're allowed to shave their own payas, and they're allowed to shave other people's payas. not only their own children. Actually, Tosfos says that according to Rav Huna, it would come out a woman could even shave her own husband's, or she could even shave a man's penis. She doesn't have the hisser to not shave them herself. Therefore, she doesn't have the hisser. You have makif and nikif, we're calling over here. Makif is the one who gives the haircut. Nikif is the one who's having their haircut. Since the woman has no problem being a nikif because she has no hisser of cutting off her own penis, therefore she has no hisser to be a makif either, Rav Huna figures. But therefore, that's what Rav Huna is saying. I myself can't.
Yeah, it's not available. She can. Oh, God, she can.
So, okay, so a gadol, that's that, right. Okay, so, well, no, if there's, no, because if the gadol himself is, if the gadol himself is Messiah, then he's going to be the one who's chayev.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
the shape
of it. No, just letting her is not, just letting her in and of herself is not considered Messiah. Messiah would be if he moves his head, you know, barber, and he tells you, move your head this way so I can get it better, that would be Messiah.
Can't say, it doesn't do anything.
That's not Messiah, yeah, right. So your argument would be with neither? Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. But not really, though, because if he's not Messiah at all, then he's not Chayev, so there's no Lifneiver. He hasn't done an Isser either. If he's just sitting there like a, like a glump without moving, yeah, he's not Chayev Malkus for it, because Chayev, you can only be Chayev Malkus for an actual thing that you're doing, only Kumbase. So moving your hair this way and that is Kumbase. Just sitting there is nothing. That's Rav Huna. Whereas Rav Abba Abba takes the view, Echad Amakif Echad Anikif for Mashma. The pasuk is implying that there is an Isser on the Makif, on the one giving the haircut, as well as on the Nikif, the one who's taking the haircut. The Itkesh Makif the Nikif, and furthermore that we make a Hekesh between the two parties. Kol Hecha the Nikif Mechayev Makif Nami Mechayev. That wherever the Nikif would be Chayev, then the makif is also chayev, meaning then that according to him, for example, a woman cannot give a man a haircut and cut off his payas, because he's also chayev, and therefore she'd be also. The high cotton, now when it comes to shaving a cotton, so with a cotton, since he himself is not chayev, because he's not yet of the age of Anshin, so therefore the makif would also not be chayev. Which means, actually, so Tosfos says that what it comes out is actually there's a double machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Abba Abba. Number one, Rav Huna is saying that a woman b'chlal can always do hakafa. Besides that she can cut off her own payas, everybody agrees to that. She can also do hakafa to an adult or a child. Rav Abba says that, of course, true, there's no problem with her being the nikif because she doesn't have an issur to have her payas cut off, but she is being over alive if she shaves a gadol's payas. So that's one machlokes as far as a gadol, whether she's allowed to shave a gadol or not. Rav Huna would say she's mutter, Rav Abba Abba would say she's chayev. That's machlokes number one. And machlokes number two is Rav Huna would say that if an adult man shaves a cotton, then he is chayev, because he has an issur of not shaving his own payas, therefore he has an issur to shave a child as well. Whereas Rav Abba Abba would take the view that both a man or a woman, if they're makif a child, the nikif himself being a child is not bar oinshin, he's not chayev. Therefore, the makif, whether it's a man or a woman, is also not chayev. Which means, by the way, also when Rav Abba Abba is asking Rav Huna, so who shaves your children's payas? According to Rav Abba Abba himself, really there wouldn't be a problem with Rav Huna himself doing it either. So why is he reacting so strongly to Berin Chovel Livnei? Because he's saying, according to your Svara, Rav Huna, what you yourself hold that the man has a chiyuv, that the man is chayiv if he shaves children's payas. So why are you saying then that there should be a difference between a man and a woman in that, and leaving it up to your wife to do? According to my own svara, you could do it or your wife could do it. But according to your own svara, that you're saying you're not allowed to do it, your wife shouldn't be either.
And the reason is?
Because we're making this hekesh between makif and nikif. That's why we're...
Rav Huna,
So who is the halacha like? So actually the machlokas persists down into later times also. The Rambam The Rambam paskins like Rav Huna. We have what we're saying over here that the Rav Adav Ava said to Berinu Chol Vilevnei and it came true. Okay, Pilaf Kochem Afilat Tanayi Ba, Shkorashi Afilevnei Ashalit, whatever. Rav Adav Ava, being a tzaddik, his word had power. Doesn't mean that the halacha is like him, though. The halacha can still be like Rav Huna, the Rambam says. On the other hand, the Raiva disagrees with him.
Why should someone else be punished?
Because not even necessarily. When we say Kishgogashi, it doesn't even always have to be that the other person did something which objectively is also off Yalacha. We had examples in Ksubas. We had examples in Ksubas over last year Pesach of cases where somebody said about somebody else, you know, if he was, you know, what do we have over there? Where one of the Tanoim said about another one that if he was still alive, he would have for sure come home. He wouldn't have stayed away from his wife for so long, and that person ended up passing away. So we're not talking about it's not like he did an Avera. He was fatigued in his learning, and he didn't remember. But the Kishlogash Yotzei Lifnei Hashalit, a Talmid Chacham says something that it has a tzaddik says something it has an effect.
But you cannot say something to the effect that he's going to be punished when the halacha is not the way he expresses it.
No, because, again, Rav Adav Ava would say, I don't understand. You're Svarah, Rav Huna. According to your own logic, why are you distinguishing
this? Different.
So that's what we're saying, in other words. So the final halacha can be decided like Rav Huna. But but Rav Adav Ava, and again, even according to Rav Adav Ava himself, according to Tosus's understanding anyway, both, it wouldn't have been a problem either for Rav Huna or for his wife to do it. According to Rav Adav Ava, either one of them could do it without it being an issue. But Rav Adav Ava is objecting to Rav Huna's understanding of the halacha, that according to your own logic, why are you saying you're also with your wife is mutter? That's a very negative thing. And therefore, Kishvog, if you have to look at Shalit, it had a success. We could still say the halacha is like Rav Huna, though, and that's how the Rambam paskins. However, the Raiva disagrees with that, and actually one piece of evidence that the halacha is like Rav Huna, he argues that the halacha should be like Rav Adav Ava, and part of the evidence that he brings is based on this. And both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch, where the Mechaber brings both opinions without deciding between them. He mentions one, v'yesh omrim, he brings the one, v'yesh omrim, the other. There's a bit of a discussion among the poskim. Let's say, for example, we know a woman is allowed to cut off her own hair. If that's a given, everybody agrees to that. And for example, there's no question then that one woman could give another woman a haircut and cut off her face. Would a man be allowed to give a woman a haircut and cut off her face? If we're going to say makish l'nikdus, then maybe not. Maybe if the man himself has an issur to cut off his own hair, maybe he also has an issur to cut off even a woman's hair. That's another. But on the other hand, a woman doesn't have the issue of Ashkos of Tayyip, so maybe not. Maybe there isn't an issue. So there's a bit of a discussion about that also. One last thing real quick is Mephoshim.
You cannot say both that the Nikaf is like a Makif, and at the same time say the Alach is not like a man and the woman have different Alachas. I mean,
okay, but that's the whole discussion. That's the whole discussion of how we fit all these things together. One more thing, by the way, that Mephoshim talk about is how are we talking about shaving a kid's head and shaving off his payas? We learned back in Yevamos a while back that even you may not have to prevent a kid from doing an isur, except if you're his father, then you have an isur chinuch. But you're not allowed to give him an isur b'yadayim. You're not allowed to outright give him something today to eat, for example, loisachilum. So how are you allowed to shave his payas? So one answer is basically that. You're not allowed to give him something of Isser, but here you're not giving him. He has a mitzvah to wear payas, fine. But he's not doing anything necessarily. He could just be sitting there. So you're not actually causing him to do any Isser. It's being done to him. Well, that's the point, in other words. But even a child, you're not allowed to give him. You're not allowed to go and give him a cheeseburger, for example. But on the other hand, according to this logic, you would be allowed to, at least according to the various opinions over here, you might be allowed to shave off his payas without. No,
Rashi says
that. Okay, so Rashi is saying it's after a sickness, right? But even we're talking lav dafka, even with that. I mean, because there's nothing matter of pituah nefesh, you know, then that's...
Even anti-chinuch?
No, chinuch, no. And actually, there's an interesting thing. I just saw that Nita Gavriel brings from somebody that, we know we make a big deal about an upshonish and then being mechanech the kid in payas. Why is that? Based on our Gemara over here, we see that making sure that the kid wears payas is a segula for that the kid will live, because we see it'll be the opposite of what happened to the funnest children. So therefore, we make a big... That's one reason why we make a big, huge deal out of an upshonish. Thank you.